Blog Talk Radio.
There she was, just walking down the street singing.
Do what did it, did it, dum, did it, do.
Tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing.
Do what did it, did it, dum, did it, do.
She looked good.
Looked good.
She looked fine.
Looked fine.
She looked good. She looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing.
Do what did it,
in my hand, just as natural as can be, singing.
Do what did it, did it, dum, did it, dum.
We walk on,
walk on
to my door,
my door.
We walk on to my door, then we kiss a little more. Oh, I knew we was falling in love. Yes, I did, and so I told her all the things I'd been dreaming of. Now we're together nearly every single day singing.
Do what did it, did it, dumb, did it, do.
Oh, we're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
Do what did it, dumb, did it, do.
Well, I'm hurt.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Together nearly every single day singing.
Do what did it, dum, did it, dum.
Oh, we're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
Do what did it, dum, did it, dum.
Well, I'm hurt.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hurt.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa.
One of my favourites there, Do A Diddy by Manfred Mann, I believe. Actually, my sort of signature tune from my days on the stage as a stand-up comedian. Would you believe it? And, you know, I tell people I did stand-up and they say, well, Jim, you're a miserable bastard. So how did that work out? It was funny. It was funny. It's another Thursday. They keep coming around. It's Thursday. I've had a miserable week. I've just been. It's nice to be moaning to somebody on air, dear listeners. It's been a shit week. To be honest with you, accumulating in today. The guys who came to fix my sprinklers chopping through my cable, which meant AT&T were out again. And regular listeners of the show will know what a fan I'm not of AT&T. But having said that, the guy who came today was pretty awesome, bless him. So hopefully he may be listening. Casey, you're an absolute nutty star. And he put it with my bad mood as well. So, such is the rock and roll life that I do lead. Hopefully we've got Xtina who's going to lend an air of jollity to the proceedings. How are you there this evening, my dear?
I'm doing good, and I didn't have a shit week, so that's good. I mean, it wasn't extraordinary.
Yeah, thanks. Thank you for just rubbing my nose in it, you know? Yeah, I'm having a really good week, I am. Nobody gives a shit. Shut up. No, I don't care. Forget it. I'm not interested. Not interested.
Yes, you are.
Who cares about your awesome week?
Okay, awesome, but it was definitely good. It was definitely
good. Yeah, well, hopefully next week I'll have a really good week. You'll have a bad one. I'll rub your face in it on Thursday as well, you know?
Bad weeks.
No, you just have hangovers, I suppose. That's
your... Hey, oh gosh. A couple days ago, maybe it's like a week ago, I drank a whole bottle of wine.
Was it red wine?
With the vodka. Yeah.
Was it red wine? Red wine headaches are the worst thing.
They actually
banned red wine from Guantanamo Bay because it was so horrendous.
Really?
They do, no, it's just a joke. They're Muslims. They're not going to drink red wine, are they? Come on.
You have to tell me, Nick.
Get with the program.
Yeah. Well,
but I something I wanted to actually chat to our guests about this evening. We've got Mary E. Palmerin and AI NASA this evening with us. I've been struggling with writer's block this week, and it's something that I guess any creative people suffer every now and then, and it's a bizarre thing. It's not like there's nothing going on. It's my brain is just buzzing as it does, but it's just getting it from my brain through my down my arms onto the keyboard that I just can't do it.
Yes,
I sit there and I stare at my screen and just think it's in there and it will not come out, and it's just so frustrating. So frustrating.
I'm wondering if there's something in the air, because I did the same exact thing last night. I had my Word document pulled up and I just sat here and nothing would come. And it was bad. I mean, I even started to write something and then I'm like, this is crap. What are you forcing it?
If I can just write something, it's something, even if it is complete crap, it's just sort of gets things going. It gets the crap ideas out. So then, but it's just, I sat there this morning. I thought, I went and watched Wayward Pines, actually. I thought, fuck this, I'm not going to get anything done. It's so frustrating. I've even switched projects. I've sort of got back into trying to get back into a project I started a while ago. I left that to do something else, and I just cannot. And it's actually adapting one of my screenplays, which should be easy. Because it's there, it's just and filling in the gaps, I guess. But so I've started on a brand new project just to give myself that sort of boost of starting something new. Because as any writer will tell you, that there's no greater feeling than when you kick off with that new thing, So hopefully that'll brush the cobwebs out. And it's been on top of it. So again, it's one of them weeks where just everything that could go wrong seems to have gone wrong. I'm glad it's Friday tomorrow, but there you go. So how have you, apart from your awesome best week of your life ever, how have you been?
My kid has off. He had off school this whole week, so there's that.
Why?
I don't even know. They call it, they really call it fall break. Which is crazy because they'll have a break in November, and then of course the winter break in December. So I don't know why we would have a fall break, but
we don't have that here. We have. I think the next break is around Thanksgiving. I think they have Thanksgiving week off. Other than that, no, nothing till Christmas now.
That was how it was in Florida too. So I don't know what, but the kids went back to school super early here. So maybe that has something to do with it too.
That's true. That is true. Yeah. They go, our lot didn't go back till, the very, very end of last week of August, I think it was.
I think mine went back to the first week of August. It was crazy. I was like, it's still freaking summer out. What are they thinking?
I know. It goes so quickly. You dread it coming for 10 weeks. Geez, and then it's gone. okay. Our listeners don't want to sit and listen to us whining on about rubbish. We have some awesome, awesome guests this week. Our first guest is Mary E. Palmerin, and I really hope I've pronounced that right. And thank you, Xtina, for booking people whose names I've got half a chance of pronouncing this week. Hopefully she's on the line. Can we talk to us about her book, The Goodbye Man? And fingers crossed that AT&T spliced the cable right. Mary, are you there?
I am here. Thank you for having me.
Yay! Thank you for joining us. And thank you for AT&T for fixing my cable to make it possible. How are you this evening, Mary? Are you good?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful.
Oh, so you've had a wonderful week as well.
I have. Right. I've heard about not so wonderful week.
Couldn't you just pretend and just say, just lie, you had a bad week? But no, this is cheering me. I must admit, I needed this. This is really cheering me. So adult conversation. I actually worked out. I was speaking to the sister we had this evening. I haven't had a proper adult conversation in about 2 months. So this is awesome. Hey. I like this.
Yeah, then this is good then.
This is
you
great.
You talk to me every Thursday. What are you trying to say, James?
Well, read between the lines, Xtina, you know?
I think
read
I
between
am.
The lines. You can take from that what you want. So, Mary, tell us about the Goodbye Man.
Well, this is a very interesting book. I actually had a dream about, well, not the Goodbye Man himself, but about this story, Svetlana, the female lead in this book. I visited New York City several times, and it's probably my most, I just absolutely love that city. And I get so much inspiration whenever I go there. And a lot of my stories have come from dreams or nightmares. Anyway, so I had this nightmare about Svetlana on the subway. With Pavel, who is her father, and the Goodbye Man. And I woke up and I just thought, oh my gosh, like I have to tell this story, but I knew I couldn't tell it alone. Like I just knew. And Ashley, my writing partner in crime, who I believe you interviewed a few weeks ago.
Yes, we did. We did.
Yes. So I had actually read all of her books and she had read all mine, and we kind of just clicked, and I messaged her and I'm like, okay, so we've got to tell this story. And 4 weeks later we birthed this crazy story, and it's crazy to think, you know, over a year later, here we are, because I honestly never thought we would get past the publication process because of all of the taboo factors within this story. If you have boundaries, we probably will cross them in this book. But, you know, I think it's just told in such a way where, you know, like our readers like have that skewed perception of what is right. And so I don't know. It's definitely something I never thought that I would write, but now that I have written it, it's like such a story that I don't know. I just, there's no words for it.
Awesome.
I've actually started it. I haven't finished yet because I had some other projects I had to get through first, but I'm about, I want to say about 40% in, and I was talking to a blogger friend, and I told her how far, you know, how far I was into it, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, it's about to hit the fan."
Oh yes, yeah, I know.
I'm a little worried,
yes.
Because the whole thing is, I mean, it just starts out dark. I mean, it really does. So I'm kind of wondering how much worse can it get, but I guess it gets a lot worse. So.
Yeah, well, you know, these characters are multidimensional, and there's several characters within this story. You have Caesar, you have Svetlana, you have Mateo, mm-hmm. and of course you have Pavel, who's in it. But you know, the story, I mean, it takes place in Hunts Point, which is a small part of the Bronx in New York City, and it's pretty infamous for prostitution and drugs, and it's the Goodbye Man is the first book of the Red Market series, and the Red Market is dubbed for actually the black market organ trade. So you can only imagine what is interwoven within this story. So we, Ashley and I, did hours upon hours of research, and all sorts of interesting things have come along with this story, and it actually is quite disturbing how real some of the things, you know, that we write about that have actually happened, you know, or the lives that people lead in Hunts Point in New York. It really is scary. But anyway, we were actually just truly blown away at the response of this book, because you know, like I said, we never thought we would get past the publication process because of the major taboo factor.
Right. When we had Ashley on, I was telling James about speaking to a couple of other bloggers, and one of them I'm pretty close with, and she was telling me that she was like, it was so dark, I threw up in my mouth a little bit, you know, and she's
oh
like,
my God.
She reads, I know, but I mean, she reads like really dark stuff, so that had me going, really, I have to read this.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this book definitely pushed, you know, it's funny that you guys were talking about writer's block, because I've had a bad case of that ever since we've written the Red Market series, because there's the Goodbye Man and then there's the Goodbye Girl. And honestly, I really think that this series changed me as a person, as a writer, as a woman. And I've had problems with writer's block lately. I had to take a couple of months off this summer just to kind of regroup and, you know, take time away from writing. But,
the whole world that you created with that book was just dark. I mean, it's not just like having a dark character. The whole world was dark. So I can't imagine you needing to kind of get away from that for a little bit. Yeah.
It was challenging, yeah. So I found it interesting that you guys were talking about writer's block, because I'm still kind of struggling. You know, this definitely, you know, is not my first book. I've created 11 stories, you know, 11 different books. And so, you know, I've had the most difficult time after this series, you know, kind of, but I'm not forcing it. I heard you talking about forcing it. Yeah, I'm just kind of writing when I can, so.
Yeah, I can't force it. I tried last night. I sat in front of the computer and I had it switched on. I'm like, you know, I'm just going to start somewhere, and if I have to go back and fix everything, that's fine. But after 10 minutes of writing, you know, basically crap, I was like, no, I'm going to read.
Right.
And it's hard right now for me, because I have like 2 different projects I'm working on, and they're both very different genres. And then I also write poetry, so I'm thinking I could go in any direction, but of course I had nothing. And that's hard, especially when you feel that the need or the itch to write, you're just itching to write something and absolutely nothing will come out. I've had, you know, friends say, just, you know, start, just write anything. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't for me anyway. It just doesn't.
Yeah. I've had days like that too. I totally understand.
Yeah. So one question I always like to ask people is music. Was there any maybe songs or a playlist or anything that you listened or created or something for the Goodbye Man, or to get you into the mood or something?
It's so strange that you ask that, because I listen to the most bizarre things whenever I write certain scenes. I listened to, whenever I was writing certain scenes, I would listen to Nine Inch Nails or Marilyn Manson, which is funny because I listen to a lot of like soft, like folk rock normally, which is funny, but, most of the time, whenever I wrote everything else in this book, I listened to classical, Dustin O'Halloran, which is, like I said, kind of funny once you read this book and you're like, she really listened to classical while writing this book? Like,
right,
how
I'm
is
thinking
that
about
easy?
It too.
Yeah, so wow. I did. I listened to a lot of Dustin O'Halloran. I listen to him a lot, actually, whenever I write. And, so that's mainly, or if it was like certain really gritty, awful, terrible scenes, which, I've been pretty infamous for writing about certain something, I won't say, then I typically would listen to like Nine Inch Nails or Marilyn Manson, whatever I would write that. But yeah, it's very very strange. I go between Marilyn Manson and then classical. Like, it's very weird.
But no, you know, I totally get it though, because I'm the same way. I listen to classical, and it's something that I don't think a lot of people do know about me, but and I like to joke around. I say I like chopping. I mean, I know that's not how you say it, but it looks like chopping to me. So.
Right.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah. But I like, you know, heavy metal, and I like, you know, I like anything. You know, I don't care for country
right.
so much, but anything else is
right.
pretty much a go for me.
Yeah, me too.
So I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have a reading for us?
Okay, I do. Now, I probably don't have time for all of it, and I was actually talking to my friend Julianne right before. I was like, oh, my gosh, like, I can't. She was like, what chapter did you decide to read? And I told her it was from chapter 40. Now, this is a flashback chapter from The Goodbye Man, which after I wrote this, I sent it to Ashley, and she was, like, crying, and people have, like, curse me for this chapter, but anyway, this is a flashback chapter from Svetlana, and again, I won't read the whole thing because it's quite lengthy. So she's having a flashback of being she's 12 in this. He shoves me into a back street, rats trotting off to safety. The hardness of the bricks knocks the wind from my lungs as I am forced to look into his eyes. Hatred. Lies. There was never love there. I am a game for him. A chip in life. A way to gain money. His knuckles meet my nose and I feel a crack. The warm liquid starting to flow from my nose. Whores need to know how to take it, Svetlana. You need to like it rough. He slaps me again, the cold winter's night breeze brushing against my bruised cheek. I wish I could let myself huddle into a ball and cry, but I stay still on 2 feet at 12 years old, taking the horrendous punches that he thinks I deserve. Maybe he is right. Everyone is born into this world with purpose, both good and bad, influential and indifferent. I am bad and indifferent. I must accept my fate and promise myself to put this at the dark edge of my brain until I die. Being forced to take my father is a memory I wish to never remember. And that's all I'll read, because I think it gets a little too dark beyond that. But,
no, I was getting
yeah.
to that. I know. Like you say, it's very, very dark subject matter, which, you know, I think as a writer, I admire, you know, writers who are happy to step over their boundaries. And, you know, I'm a bit of a boundary breaker myself, as Xtina will testify to, you know, I think, you know, I'd rather do that. I don't like reading safe, you know. People play,
yeah,
you know, you play
definitely...
say, oh, I can't say this and I can't say that. I mean, self-censorship is probably the worst thing you can do as a writer.
Yeah. So Svetlana, she stays her. We stayed true to her age. She's 17 in the book, but during this flashback, obviously she's 12. But so she was born to Russian immigrants, and she lives in New York City, like I mentioned. And she's basically pimped out by her father.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yeah.
you kind of, I mean, you're reading the life that she endures. And it's not, I mean, it's not something that, it's something that we, as the writers, wanted to stay true to. We didn't, here's my biggest thing is not all bad things happen to people who are just 18. And I recognize that, you know, this is a
very,
you know, but we wanted the genuineness of this book to, and the reality of this book to be there and to be true. And that was something that we were like, okay, well, why would she be 18? You know, I mean, tons
right.
of research that we did was apparent. It was there. I mean, this happened, you know, so it's what we did. And I mean, we of course got crucified for it a few times, but I mean, naturally that's going to happen. But, you know, I think that, I think the positivity as far as how we moved people by this story outweighs
yes.
the negative for yes. sure.
As a writer, that is what we want to do. If I can make somebody shudder or maybe even shed a tear or something. I think our work is done, you know, and just creating the scene that you guys created with The Goodbye Man, and just, you know, right from the first page, you can just feel the darkness. You really can. And I think that was one of the things that is definitely going to keep me going, because it just, you feel it, you don't, and you see it, which that's another thing that I really love when I'm reading the book. I want to see the scene
right.
that we're in. I want to be there, even when it's painful. I mean, even when I, you know, cringe a little bit or something, I still enjoy being there. You know, that's why I read. So.
Exactly.
I think if you take people out of it, I mean, you know, I think as any artist, you know, if you evoke any emotion, you know, it's happy, sad,
yeah.
black, you know, dark, whatever, you know, in your reader, you know, that's the mark of a good writer. You know, I
mm-hmm.
the subject matter, I mean, reading through, reading ahead from what you're reading there, you know, is as a father, for one, as a man, for two, you know, father of a young daughter, or two daughters, actually, it's uncomfortable reading. But it's uncomfortable reading in a good way. You know, it just takes you out of that, out of your little cozy little world that, you know, gee, you know, and you're right, it does happen. And it's horrible. And, you know, any normal person will testify, you know, it's almost unthinkable. And,
right.
you know, knowing that is going on, and yeah, anything that makes you think and just takes you out of yourself a little bit is awesome. I'm going to have to read this. You know, it's as uncomfortable as the subject matter is, I'm going to have to
yeah.
read it.
Right.
It's awesome. Yeah. I like that. I don't like to, and you know, I read a hell of a lot, you know, and so you put something down and then 10 minutes later you've forgotten what it was about. Yeah, I hope I never write that kind of book, you know, because
yes, exactly.
He just leaves you just say, well, yeah, you know,
I
it
totally
took me,
agree.
Whatever. You know, it was okay to read while I was on the toilet, but I've forgotten who was what and what happened.
Yeah.
I really don't. I don't care enough to reread it to see what happened.
Yeah.
I just put it on the pile of books I've read and I'll never go back to it, you know.
Right.
Yep, and then,
right. Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah, that's what I aim for in my own writing. I definitely want somebody to close it up and think about it after, you know, for a while, and be able. I want it to be memorable. You know, I want it to be memorable. I really do, because there are a ton of books that, you know, I'll check out my like maybe Goodreads account or something. I'm like, oh yeah, I kind of vaguely remember that book. So I definitely want the ones where I just remember everything about it. You know, I want to be that kind of a writer. So maybe soon, maybe someday.
Yeah, we definitely knew whenever we wrote this book that, you know, the story has not, you know, not that I've read, been told before.
Right.
And we knew
right.
that we wanted this to be the story, you know what I'm saying, The Goodbye Man,
yeah,
whether one
yeah.
person read it or 100 people read it, you know, we wanted it to be true to the story that we told. And if the retailers didn't want to take it, then we weren't going to change it. But thankfully they did. So,
yeah.
And it's on Walmart.com now too, which I don't have any idea how that happened. But.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
I was going to ask how can we find it? I guess it's,
yeah.
obviously it's in print as well as e-copy, yeah?
Yeah, so you can find it on Amazon, iBooks, Nook, and Kobo for
mm-hmm.
The Goodbye Man. You can get it on Amazon for the paperback. And I think it is now on Books A Million and Walmart.com, as well as The Goodbye Girl. That I believe that one was rejected by one e-retailer, and I'm sorry, I think it might have been Kobo. I want to say Kobo.
Kobo. Sorry, go on.
Yeah. I've had problems with them before in the past too. I don't get
yeah.
too upset with Kobo.
Oh.
and then you can also get the paperback of The Goodbye Girl, which is the last installment of the Red Market series for now. But yeah, you can get that on Amazon, Walmart.com, and I think that one is now available on Books a Million too.
Awesome.
Awesome. So it's everywhere.
not well, it actually was it was just recently shelved in a major bookstore, The Goodbye Man, which was a huge deal. I know my time's up, but I'll say this quickly.
No, hey, go for it.
A bookstore in South Africa, one of the largest bookstores in South Africa in Johannesburg, where Ashley lives. They actually just did a huge book launch for her newest release. They were the first ever retailers to shelve The Goodbye Man and The Goodbye Girl, which is A, huge for indie authors, and
wow.
B, even bigger since we are dark, taboo authors. So, like,
awesome. Congratulations.
Yeah, so they're shelved there. Yeah, thank you.
Brilliant.
I wanted to thank you very much, Mary, for coming on the show and asking you if you'll will you come back and visit us sometime.
I would love to.
Yay! I will definitely be stalking you.
All right. Thanks for having
you,
me, guys.
Mary. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, that's awesome. You know, nice to hear sort of the success stories and what can be done, you know, when we're sat with writer's block, not being able to write too many words, and, you know, it's inspirational. So, that's great.
Right.
So, we have AI NASA, hopefully technology willing, we'll be speaking to him in a minute or two. Do you have any commercial break bits for us before the next tune, Xtina?
Sure.
I put you on the spot and I said, oh, shit, I haven't prepared
nothing.
I know,
no, it's okay. check out David Publishing's website. And then you're going to talk over me, okay?
Yeah, I will. I'm going to talk all over you. You're ill-prepared. You had a great week, and I hate you.
I love you too, James. Check out David Books Publishing's website to learn more about their authors and upcoming releases at www.jadabookspublishing.com. David Books Publishing is accepting submissions for a seasonal anthology for December, Slashing Through the Snow. Any type of holiday that's celebrated around Christmas time is accepted. Please see their Facebook page for submission guidelines, and the deadline is November 15th. And don't forget to follow the Panic Room Radio Show on social media, our Facebook page, Unofficial The Panic Room Radio Show, Twitter at Panic Room Radio, our YouTube channel, The New Panic Room Radio Show, and come visit our website, www.panicroomradio.com.
And you did forget www.jameslongmore.com, which is an awesome website with, and it's mine as well. All my awesome works on it, a little bit about me, a bit of stand-up as well. Something for everyone, except the kids. Obviously, it's not suitable for children. I have to say that this stand-up, it's vulgar. But hey, all good fun. Right, we're gonna have a tune now, so I can go to the toilet. I'm of that age now. I've done a good half hour, and I need to go to the toilet. So we will be back in 2 minutes and 43 seconds.
Are you lonely only 'cause there is nobody near? If someone new should kiss you, will your heartaches disappear? I love you so, and I've gotta know, could somebody take my place tonight? Other arms enfold you in a warm embrace, and could two other lips get close enough to kiss your face? I love you so, I wanna know, could somebody take my place tonight? I've been gone so long, I get to wondering, are you being true or have you found somebody new? Write me, call me, tell me that you're still in love with me. Let me know the worst if that's the way.
There you go, Dionne and the Belmonts. I play a lot of them thinking about it, but great little jolly tune. Again, it's a jolly tune, but if you listen to the lyrics, it really is fucking miserable, but it suits my mood. I'm trying to be jolly. Did I mention my bad week, Xtina? Did I say... I don't like to talk about it, but
you did. You know what?
I don't like to moan. You know, I'm not one of these people who will just moan on when it had a bad week. So
you played one song. What was that one song by? Was it Lily Allen? Maybe Lily somebody. It was that.
Oh, you
remember that
fuck
one?
You. That was a great.
I couldn't hear it that well, so I couldn't really tell what they were saying. I just thought it was jolly. I'm like, this is such a good song, it's so cute. And then when I actually looked up, you know, what song it was, I'm like, oh my god, that's what she's saying.
It's great, yeah. It's a great. She does there's another one of hers actually. I'll have to. It's called. If you want to look it up, it's called. It's Not Fair.
Yes,
it up.
I listened to that one too. That's a good one.
And it, again, it's jolly, but it's a very sort of grim lyric to it, which is great. I love those. You know, it's yeah. So we're back. I you know, happily emptied out now. I'll do for the next half hour. I don't know what's going on. I really don't. I'm just getting old, and I know I'm getting old, and I don't want to get old, and you know, I'm at that stage of life. I'm at that stage of life where, you know, you catch yourself thinking about, you know, something I did years and years, you know, and part of your brain thinks, well, I'll do that different next time. And you catch yourself, well, hang on, there is not going to be a next time. So, having said that, you know, I mean, because obviously you don't get to do it again. What's happened is, I guess it's coming. It's part of coming to grips with, you know, with past mistakes. You know, you can't do anything about them. That's part of life. You know, but I'm not at that depressing stage of life yet, and hopefully I never will. Where, you know, you won't buy a dog because you know it's going to outlive you.
Oh gosh.
It's funny enough, my ex-wife's grandmother, she actually did that. Her dog died, little horrible yappy little smelly thing it was, and the dog was nasty too.
I got that.
There you go. You're keeping up. Well done. And I struck me, and it stuck with me obviously all these years. You know, so obviously you're going to replace the dog, and so, well, no, I'm not going to get on because, you know, I'm too old. And I'm like, well, that is so damn depressing, you know.
Maybe I'm not quite old enough yet, because I don't think these things at all, and I'm kind of glad, because now I'm a little bummed. I'm gonna have bad.
I say you will think of it now. So I've equally ruined your day. So
thank you.
Right,
I'm gonna try
and grab, Mr. Nasser. Are you there, sir? AI, are you there? Oh, he keeps dropping his call. It's just you and me then, babe. Hopefully he'll keep trying, because I'm dying to chat with him.
Yeah.
And he's just having technical... Got to love technology, apparently.
I know.
Somebody said it makes supposed to make your life easier, but it doesn't. It just adds another layer of complication to life, I think. But yeah, his book, Children to the Slaughter, the tagline, "Your children will never be safe." Could have been written about me, actually. My kids are not safe. only joking. If CPS is listening, that was a gag.
Right, right. Yeah,
not yeah. I mean, fun enough, my daughter, you know, if I don't let her have McDonald's for like the third night running, you know, she just gives me like that look like, you know, I'm going to call CPS on you, you fat bastard, you know. You know, you've got to eat something healthy, you know, something different, so we'll have Chinese takeout or something.
I have this horrible story about my own parenting skills, but I didn't think about it until now. You know, when my kids were little, my daughter would not stay in bed at all. And I know that, like, after she would lose a tooth or something, and, you know, the tooth fairy, and I just want her to freaking go to bed. Just stay in your bed. So I told her that along with the tooth fairy, there's also a tooth monster. And if she didn't stay in bed, the tooth monster would come and try to steal the tooth. The tooth, so she wouldn't get the money. And that would keep her little ass in bed. It wasn't until, like, many years later that I'm like, oh, man, I wonder if she was terrified laying in the bed thinking about this tooth monster. You know, did I scared? Because that kind of was scared. I never even thought about it back then, though. I'm just like, the tooth monster will come and take your tooth. That's
yeah,
so
well,
horrible.
It's one of those. I mean, anybody listening who is a parent, I'm sure there's quite a lot of us out there. You know, you do what you need to do. You sometimes have to do it. I had a friend of mine back in England. He told, just to get some peace, he told his kids that through your life you have so many words. You can only speak so many words. You know, like your heart is supposed to only beat so many times in a lifetime, and so, you know, don't talk too much, and it worked for quite a while, actually. They would be quiet because they didn't want to use all their words up. The other
that
thing was,
brilliant.
I mentioned that, you know, the read an article about the heart beats so many times throughout your life, yeah, and then I guess like anything, where's that, which has got to be the best argument against exercise ever. You think about it, you know, you exercise, your heartbeat accelerates, you're going to wear the damn thing out quicker. So stay home, eat takeaway food, watch TV, drink beer, keep that heart rate down, people, you know, don't exercise. It's bad. It is bad for you. It will kill you.
Right,
everyone who exercises, everyone who goes to the gym is going to die. It's so look, I'm going to try on that happy note. I'm going to try AI again. Hopefully we've got, have we got you there, sir?
I'm hoping I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yay!
We have you. You've got a bit of echo, but that's fine. You say you're coming through loud and proud. How are you this evening, sir?
I'm going to try to go somewhere where there isn't an echo. And I just moved to a new apartment, so everything is kind of empty right now.
It sounds like you have no furniture.
I have more books than I have something to
sit
on.
Awesome. Sounds a bit like me after my divorce from my first wife. I had three. No, funny, I actually had five trash bags of clothes that she threw at me on the doorstep, and out of those five, only three were actually wearable. So,
I'd like to say that's horrible, but as long as you've got books, that should be fine. I guess.
I have my books. So it's great. It's great to hear.
I'd like to say that I had a terrible week as well. So, you know, I'm right there with you, buddy.
I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm really pleased you did. We can have a good old wine together. I don't mean it in a bad way.
It's totally good. I'm totally okay with that.
It's they say misery loves company, so yeah.
I'm right there with you, man. Right there with you.
Oh, good, good. It's good to have a good old
whinge. I'll be the bright spot in the show tonight. Okay.
Well, that's we need that. Otherwise, we would just plunge into the depths of despair. Otherwise.
Just don't let me pick the music because I've heard it's pretty pretty sad. So.
I don't know. It's been a very long week. It's been the move and everything going on. So you kind of get frustrated at everything. So when James said he had a bad week, I was like, great. You know, we could pop a can.
Have a good old whinge. Awesome. Well, look. I mean, I mentioned again in a vein of seriousness the whole writer's block thing. Is that something that you've experienced? And if so, how did you actually get around that?
It happens a lot. I'm not sure if it's mainly because you just get out of one project and you don't really know where to go with the next one. Or it just happens to be, you know, life throwing things at you in the middle. Like I don't exactly have like a process to writing, but when I'm interrupted in the middle of writing, it kind of just shuts down everything. So that happens a lot, especially you know, during the day when, you know, a lot of different things have to be done and you're trying to get something down and it just doesn't work. So that happens a lot.
Is there something specific you do to try and get around that when it does happen?
I think one of the hardest thing, well, not hardest. I think one of the things that really helps is when you're, when you have a deadline. I mean, a lot of the stuff that I have to do, have deadlines. So sooner or later, you're looking at the calendar and you're like, okay, you know what? I don't care if there's writer's block or not. I just have to sit down and do this, or else I'm, you know, deadline's going to get by and nothing's going to happen and all that. So that helps a little bit. Other than that, I probably shut the door, close all the lights, and listen to the loudest music possible to get whatever thoughts are, you know, going on inside my head out of there so I can actually sit down and do something useful with my life.
Yeah, I must admit, I find with me, mate, the distractions are actually inside my head.
That's
where the problem comes from. And I can shut myself in a darkened room, but my head, my brain doesn't want to do it. It damn well won't do it. And I, you know, in all my advanced years, you know, I'm not really that old, but in all my years, you know, I've not been able to control that. I've not been able to rein that in. My brain will do pretty much what it wants to do. Which has caused a lot of problems over the years. Say again.
Very, very loud music. Try very, very loud music. Enough that, you know, the neighbors are going to be like knocking on your door and telling you to shut it off. Try that. Then again, I did have a bad week. The neighbors come knocking. I really don't care. So.
Well, I tell you, I think the last time I went through this, I remember sitting and I was just trying to slog away. I think I wrote 12 words all day, and it just jumped into my head. You know, if I just had a little shot of vodka might just help grease the wheels a bit. And I said, whoa, no. That would be Ernest Hemingway territory. That I don't want to end up that, but it was tempting, I have to say. Not a good idea. I don't want to get on that slippery slope. And it, to be fair, it probably would help short term, but no. Dangerous. Right.
No, he mentioned deadlines, and I'm kind of the same way. I work really well under pressure. When I have things that I have to get done at a certain time, I don't know. I work a lot better than otherwise. I just find myself procrastinating so badly. I will wait until the very last minute. So that's why it's hard when I'm, you know, working on something for myself that I have no deadline, because I just kind of, I don't know. I need someone to make me do it.
When it's open, it's funny. Yeah, when I've got a publisher saying, you know, right, you know, we need this edit back like in a week. Or, you know, this rewrite or whatever, then I can really pull it out and go for it. But when it's sort of open end, like, say, starting a new novel, or, you know, getting back into writing a new novel, which is, I know it's going to take months. You know, it just, yeah, like you said, procrastinate until the cows come home, literally. But,
Right.
Oh, well.
Me too.
Oh, well. Okay. So tell us about Children to the Slaughter. I love the tagline, your children will never be safe. Tell us a bit more about it.
It's funny when you actually read the tagline, because I teach middle school literature. So I remember the first day that was published, and I went to the principal and I told her, "Hey, my new book's out." And she's like, "No, no, it's not. No, I don't want to see this book." So it's kind of beginning. And well, Children's Tearswater is basically kind of a return to a childhood nightmare of mine, of sorts. I mean, I grew up in Connecticut, so, you know, you're always surrounded by all this horror and all these, you know, witchcraft and all these legends and myths and stuff like that. And my dad had a sick sense of humor. He loved to watch The Twilight Zone, and he made sure I was sitting next to him when he was watching. So I kind of grew up with all that. So it was really hard to get through to a scare sooner or later. But the one thing that always freaked me out was the boogeyman. Always. And, you know, it's that knock on the closet door, the knock on the window, the hand under the bed kind of thing. So that was kind of a return to that. It was the idea of why the boogeyman always comes after children. So it basically came out from there. And I kind of ran with it, I guess. And it developed into a series and started growing into a kind of universe where more, you know, like, the newest trilogy that's out is actually based on the same concept as well. So, yeah, it kind of grew from there.
Awesome. Awesome. So tapping into, I think, some things that just frighten everyone, certainly as children. You know, I think we've all laid in bed. Of course, you know, you lay in bed as a kid and you're frightened. And, of course, the best protection against serial killers and monsters and everything is a sheet. I'm going to go under the sheet. This is great. This makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I'm putting my head under the sheet and I am, you know, immune to everything. You know, and I think we've all done that. We've all laid there.
That shadow in the corner, that tapping... that inexplicable sound, don't know what's going on, and it just drives you crazy. And,
you know,
like I said, that was the worst nightmare ever that I ever had, ever.
I think that was one of the scariest parts of the book, Gerald's Game by Stephen King, was that in the corner she kept thinking she saw something, but, you know, she couldn't really do anything. She's, you know, handcuffed to the bed.
Yeah.
And we weren't sure if that was really something there, if it was her mind playing a trick on her. But that part scared me.
That was good. And it turned out to actually be someone, didn't it, in the end?
I know.
Spoiler alert.
I read that
on your recommendation, Xtina, and it's one I'd missed over the years. I didn't realize how old it was. You know, how
right,
it was like 90,
right.
94, 95. And it was awesome. I really enjoyed it. And then I read Rose Madder. And I thought that was terrible.
Yeah.
I hated it. Sorry, Steve, if you're listening.
But
I did not like that book.
He himself said that it was a weak book. So.
Well,
it was. Do you remember the movie Sleeping with the Enemy with Julia Roberts? It gave me a real Sleeping with the Enemy kind of feel to
that,
it, except for with the
supernatural
vibe.
That was a good movie. That was a very good movie. The supernatural part of it, he sort of shooed that in. It would have been very Dean Koontz, I think. If it had just been him pursuing her ex husband or the husband she left pursuing her, forget all the going into the painting stuff. It would have been a million times better. But that part of the book was awesome. I loved that. Her getting a life back, starting a new life. That. I would have read that and read that and read that. And then it was always going into painting. You could see what was going to happen. And it was so contrived. Not one of my favorites. Gerald's Game, I'd recommend that to anyone. That was a fantastic book.
I'm a big fan in general. I mean, I grew up reading and I think in every single book, not the recent King books, but mainly the older stuff. Where he plays a lot on the idea of just, you know, tapping into that terror that you can't see, that terror that is there, but you don't know if it's really there or not. And I think that's the strongest point with the books. I mean, lately most of the stuff is more on storytelling rather than actual horror. But in general, it was that always that fear of not knowing what was bleeding down your neck in the dark. And I'm hoping I could, you know,
right,
out one day like an iota of that or something.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you have a reading for us? We're quickly running out of time.
I do. I'll try to get something as quick as possible. This is out of Children's and Slaughter. It's a small scene where Blake is in his bedroom. I'll just get right to it so you don't. Blake's eyes fell on the closet door. He could feel his skin crawl and his breathing quicken. The tapping was coming from behind the closet door, and he quickly tried to convince himself that it was nothing more than his imagination playing tricks on him. The tapping didn't stop, coming harder, more confident, as if whoever was behind the closet door was actually asking for permission to come in. Blake looked over at the bedroom door, the uninviting darkness, and then back at the closet. He was frozen in place, unable to think clearly, completely forgetting about his father and whether or not he was coming to save him. Blake's eyes widened as he watched the closet door creak open, slowly, and a hand reach out from inside and grasp the edge as it pushed it all the way. His heart instantly jumped into his throat as his body began to shake, the tremors racing through him like wildfire. He felt something warm spread out from where he sat, and a part of his mind, a part that had decided that what was happening right now was just a dream, wondered what his father would say about his wedding to Bev. The closet door swung open completely, creaking outwards, and from the darkness within came a soft chuckle. The voice that followed was harsh and raspy, reminding Blake of the sound of teeth grinding against each other. "We are going to have so much fun." That's basically it.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
No, that was awesome. It's funny, everyone who reads, they always stop at the best bits. It's just getting good.
I know.
No, that was awesome. That was great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we are just about out of time, Mr. Nasser, and I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. Will you come back?
I definitely will. I'm so sorry that we had the whole issue with the call.
No, that's okay. Hopefully, we'll have a better week and some furniture next time we speak. Just drop me a message or something if you're having a really bad week, and we can have a good old moan together again.
Oh,
I have absolutely no issues with that. You know, misery does love company, and my wife tends to kind of like stay away from having a bad week.
Fine,
so
let's do that. Okay, well, we're going to say goodbye. We'll speak to you again very, very soon. Thank you for joining us. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Also, love technology. That's pretty much it. So I'm going to go back to my crappy week.
It's
been a pleasure.
You did.
It's been much needed. Thank you. It's been great. Thank you for wonderful guests. Mary and AI, it's been great chatting to you guys, and I'm going to go now. I'm going to go and have steak and fries for my until next week. Once upon a time, I
Send my baby back.